We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Danny Parkin Show.
Your guy, Park.
What's up, Park?
On 670 The Score.
And you are Gina?
Gina. Hey, what's up?
Nothing.
Look, I'm going to be real honest with you. It's been a long time since I've been with a man. Spent a lot of time with the ladies. Looking to get back up on that pogo stick. You know what I'm saying?
Excuse me?
You're a good-looking man.
Thank you.
Very pretty. Real soft, delicate features. They're real feminine, you know, which is good for me because that would be a simple sort of transition, you know what I'm saying? Maybe throw a little rouge on ya.
Tuck your back.
You game?
No.
What could go wrong? A little speed dating here. That's been our last, like, what, 4-6 weeks of existence here on the afternoon show. So, Cody Decker, former big leaguer, is in. You maybe know him from, where would people know you from, Dak? What do you think?
Oh, a lot of places. Most famously, weirdly, of all the years I spent playing professional baseball, no one seems to know me for that except for the people that called me real-life Crash Davis, which is what I always dreamed I'd become. But I'd say my prank on Jeff Francoeur is probably the thing that got me the most mainstream appeal because Jeff Francoeur, who I love to death, is a complete idiot.
I loved that prank so much, and I covered that Royals team when he was there, one of the Royals teams when he was there, and I just remember looking at him like, man, you really fell for that in just such spectacular fashion. You convinced Jeff Francoeur, for anyone who doesn't know, that you guys had a deaf teammate who wasn't in fact deaf for like a month. Is that
over
right?
A month. And and the funny thing about it is I forgot like five times we were still doing the prank, and he would do something so aggressively stupid that it would make me laugh, and I'm like, oh my god, we're still doing this. Good for us.
It's so good. You should watch that on YouTube. Jeff Francoeur finds out that his deaf teammate is not deaf, the prank pulled off by Cody Decker. All right, Shane, your dime, your dance floor, my friend. What are we doing here?
Okay, question number one. I'm going to ask a question, and then you'll rotate who answers the question first. Cody, you're the guest, so Danny, you'll go first. What's your guilty pleasure TV show, and it can't be sports?
Guilty pleasure TV show, and it can't be sports. Well, listen, I watch some of The Bachelor and Bachelorette with my wife. It's terrible. But I will say that The Bachelor has some redeeming qualities because of the eye candy. I can get into The Bachelor a little bit.
I'm going to say disagree with you. Bachelor has no redeeming qualities, and the only reason you watch it is because you're married, because I have to watch The Bachelor with my wife. So that's not my guilty. It's not my guilty pleasure, but I'm going to go with early 90s, Beverly Hills 90210 original cast. Give me some Jason Priestley and sideburns, baby.
You excited for Saved by the Bell coming back?
No, I'm not. It's the reboot I do not need.
I saw that trailer, and it was just like, it's just uncomfortable. They're all way too old, and I don't know what they're doing at that school anymore.
And you gotta really feel for Screech and Lisa Turtle. Everyone looked at each other like, yeah, we ain't bringing them back.
No, yeah, right. They fell out of the cool kids club. All right, next question.
10 years ago, and this is for Cody first, 10 years ago, where did you think you'd be today?
Dead.
Honestly?
Probably. I mean, come on, man. 10 years ago, I was living in my car playing at like Lake Elsinore, California, in high A for the San Diego Padres. I was constantly called by the wrong name because Padres top prospect Jeff Decker was on my team. So I was constantly signing the wrong baseball cards for a year and a half. And I'm like, there's only so much more I could take on this.
Danny, wow. 10 years.
I can't go that dark, man. I thought I'd be here. I'm just super lame. I had a dream job when I was 16, and I said, I am going to do it. I'm going to host. And by the way, it was even that specific. I wanted to do afternoons because I hate waking up early. And now I have a baby, so I'm up early all the time. But I literally wanted to do an afternoon show in Chicago. This station or the other, I would have been fine either way. But yeah, I was arrogant enough to believe that I would get here 10 years ago.
But really quickly, 11 years ago, I thought I'm going to be a superstar on a $100 million deal. Then that next year happened. And I'm like, oh,
humbling.
Okay, maybe not. I'm living in a Honda Element.
That's not a very big car. It's not going to get it done.
It was bulkier on the inside. It's like a TARDIS.
Oh, all right. Well, then that works. Shane, next question.
Go-to karaoke song. Danny, you first.
You never close your eyes anymore when I kiss your lips. There's no tenderness like before in your fingertips. Yeah, that scene from Top Gun gets me every time. Sang it to my wife on like our fourth date, hammered at a bar called Cigar Box.
Cody, go-to karaoke song. Better Than That, Please.
Red hell from above, because in a midnight hour, she cried more, more, more.
Rebel Yell, Billy Idol, let's go. I get a room going.
That's a really good
one. I love the song. I do. It's got a great beat, and it's a lot of fun. I like the way they sing it.
Those are two really good options. I appreciate that. Question number four. Danny, when'd you lose your virginity?
I thought he was going first this time, but I'll go first. Yeah, freshman year of college, first weekend. Went all through high school. Shocking, I know, as a virgin.
Cody?
Any follow-ups that you have?
17 years old, my parents' bed.
No!
Nice.
They were out of town. They had a water bed, and I'm like, well, this is what's happening. Let's go.
A water bed?
Yep. Had no footing, no idea where I was doing. It was a disaster, but it's what happened, and it lives on in infamy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure it does.
All of a sudden, you know, felt all right. I went just like this. Water.
Oh, God. George Brett, out of context, the absolute best. Next question, Shane.
Oh, next question. I'm sorry.
We broke Shane.
A very common first date question. What's your favorite thing about being married?
Go first.
Me?
I think it's your turn. I went first last time.
Yeah, no. If you guys know my wife, Jennifer Sturger, she is my best friend. She absolutely destroys me on every day is like a roast at the Apollo at home. So I'm constantly getting beaten up verbally because she's always working on roast jokes. But I got to say, she is my best friend, and being able to laugh every night with her is the best.
And now the least favorite thing about being married.
She is so bad at doing the dishes. It drives me insane. She always cooks egg whites in a bowl in the microwave and then eats them and doesn't clean the bowl and puts it in the dishwasher, and then it crystallizes egg whites all over the bowl, and I have to scrub it even though it's now cement in a bowl. What are we doing?
Sounds like you need some paper bowls.
Yeah, that's a good idea, actually. I might suggest it, but I'm going to get yelled at when I get home. Thanks.
Danny, favorite thing about being married?
Again, like his answer was fairly cliche. Like, I'm a better version of me because of her. Like, it's just very true. I'm nicer because of her. I'm more open to new experiences because of her. I'm a little softer around the edges because of Steph. Like, all of those things. Like, when she met me, my apartment in Kansas City, like, the kitchen was just never used. This is true. The sink was used as storage. Like, I just had things in the sink, like wires and chargers. Like, I was never, every single meal was eaten out of a to-go container, 14 meals a week.
We
True
know this,
story.
But you're a problem.
Dude, yeah. Danny, you didn't. She didn't make you better. She made you a semblance of human.
Yeah, I was disgusting. Okay, flat out disgusting. Like a reclamation project. Like I fully admit that. And then the worst part about being married. That she reminds me of all of those shortcomings. Like none of it comes naturally, like totally natural. So it's like, oh God, right, I have to do that. Okay, right, you're right. If I am a slob. No, you're right, I have to do that. And so it's just like that constant reminder of trying to live up to that standard.
All right, couple more. What's your go-to activity? This is for Cody first. Go-to activity when you want to wind down.
Golf. I really, especially since I retired, I have really loved going and hitting the links, man. There's something about it, especially if you don't have anything to do later on that day. You probably have a couple of cocktails. Maybe you're with a couple of buddies. Right now, especially during the coronavirus pandemic, you can golf and completely social distance very easily, in fact. So I have found that golf has been my new go-to relax thing. That and working out. I lift a lot. As you can tell, I'm jacked.
Yeah, you are jacked. As you can tell, I lift a lot as well. We should bench later. What are you, 285? You look like you put up about 285, maybe a couple times. That's about
for,
that's what
for
I put
you.
Up.
Oh yeah, well yeah, my max is 350, but who knows?
350. Okay, yeah, no, nobody's bragging. I love golf as well. I always explain it like I'm not very good at it, but I love it, and it clears my head because it's such a hard game that you can't be thinking about your phone. You can't be thinking about the problems at work or at home or in life or anything like that because you have to focus. And so it's like even though it's a hard game, it's a stress reliever because you have to focus shot to shot. So golf. And then also recreational marijuana use would be another thing that I do to relax.
Smoke weed every day. Mm-hmm.
It helps immensely.
All right, two more. I think I know the answer to this, but nobody else. It's not that obvious, maybe. Do you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert? And what would other people consider you?
Is that for me first or Danny
Cody,
first?
Cody, you go first.
For me first, I would consider myself an extrovert, and I think everyone else would. But I enjoy being introverted when I'm by myself and like kind of cutting off from everything else. It's like getting to a super high and then just kind of trying to stay even keel.
Yeah, that is. I am an extrovert because of this job. I feel like you have to be. So everybody else would definitely say I am an extrovert. But ever since I was a little kid, my mom would say that like I'd forget to go, like eat meals because I could play with like Ninja Turtles or G.I. Joes or whatever for 5, 6, 7 hours at a time and just get completely lost in it and like always have been comfortable being by myself, being alone, that sort of thing. So I need that like winding down time and all of that. So I definitely have introvert tendencies, but I honestly don't think you can do this job without being an extrovert. So extrovert is the correct answer.
Okay, last one. Cody, you go first last time. Are you a big smoothie guy, or do you think a real breakfast matters?
Real breakfast matters, man. I cook myself an omelet, try it every morning. I have a little bacon on the side. I try not to mix my fats and my carbs because, you know, if you've seen my father, you know that I could just put on weight by staring at a donut. So I try my very best to take care of my health.
Danny?
Shane, that was a slanted question. You're trying to tamper with the jury. We all know that I am on this smoothie kick recently, ever since I got my Vitamix. Free plug. Made a great one this morning. It had strawberries and raspberries.
Oh, who cares?
Orange and an apple and kale and spinach and almonds.
Who the hell cares?
And some hemp seeds. It was delicious, my friends.
Wait. You didn't say we can talk about things we get for free. That is not fair.
No, that was a free plug. I paid for that $400 blender. That's how good the blender is. I gave them a free plug and got nothing in return. Basically everything else I say, bought and paid for. But that was free, okay? Because that's how good that product. I honestly think the engine of this blender is stronger than that in a Porsche. It's unbelievable. Just put all that crap in there. 8 seconds later, smoothie. It's amazing. I would never eat kale or spinach or any of that stuff, but just goes right down like Popeye. It's amazing.
Spinach and kale is really good, man. If you dress it right.
Yeah, with fruits in a smoothie.
You're killing
really
me, man.
Good.
Okay. That's all I've got for you.
All right.
It was good. That was not bad. I got to learn so many things about Danny. I feel like we're as close as can be now.
Yeah, I do too. Although I think you were a little bit appalled by my marriage answer because of like what I was before I met my wife. Like I could see you on the Twitch stream and you were like, who am I dealing with here?
Yeah, you know, yeah, the reason why I felt that way is because I lived with roommates like this. And I mean, when I say roommates, I wanted to clean and keep the place, you know, sizable. They had become really good friends with most notable fruit flies in the area.
Yeah, I've had that problem before. It's not, I'm not proud of it. I certainly do think I've outgrown it. But the only reason I outgrew it is because of my wife. Like, that is absolutely true that she hastened that process. I was asking at the beginning, like, what do people know you most for? And the Jeff Francoeur thing is great. How many people do know you, though, as Jen Sturger's husband? Do you get that all the time?
Not all the time, but my favorite article that was ever written about me barely even mentioned me. It was simply titled, Jen Sturger's Boyfriend Gets Called Up to the Major Leagues. And I framed it because I thought it was the funniest thing ever written about me, because it goes on to talk about all of Jen's accomplishments. And at the end, the last thing it says, and her boyfriend was just called up to the San Diego Padres. And I remember sitting there going like, oh, wow, that is exactly on par for everything that happens in my career.
That's humbling. Right? Like, in some way. So do you have the article? You said you framed it. Do you
I have it somewhere. We moved recently, so I got to find it again. But it is just hilarious. You can find it online somewhere. But, yeah, no, I get that more, not as often as you think. I think I've done a decent enough job of creating a little niche for myself, especially in baseball. A lot of baseball people who work in the industry, they know me personally, and they know me by, you know, antics on and off the field. And I mentioned that I wasn't very good at baseball. I was actually all right. I could hit a little bit. I was the when I retired, I was the leading minor league home run leader, which, again, when I was 12, I used to tell everybody, like, dude, one day I'm going to get signed by a team and they're going to put me in AAA and they're going to keep me there for about 10 years. And then while I'm there, I'm going to break every record possible and then, you know, never get to the big leagues and leave with no money and $35,000 of credit card debt. And guess what? Lived my dream.
Congratulations, man.
Thank
you,
baby.
That's very exciting. No, there are worse things than being the real-life Crash Davis. And I was, you know, in anticipation of you coming in, I was reading your Wikipedia page, because if it's on Wikipedia, it must be true. You were a hell of a baseball player. Have you ever talked to Mike Trout or talked trash at Mike Trout for beating him out for Arizona Fall League MVP?
It is very, very literally the only thing I say to him every time I say to see him. Like, I don't say, hell, Mike Trout, you're the best player who ever lived. Cool. Oh, nice three MVP trophies. But do you have this plaque from the Arizona League MVP? Oh, you were second? That's a shame. How old are you? 17 at the time, and I was 22 out of college? Don't care. I got this hardware. You don't. So
yeah, it's a pesky detail.
Basically, what I'm saying is I'm better than Mike Trout. I have hardware to prove it.
You're going to be the next Mike Trout.
I think so. And I assume he takes that pretty well.
Yeah, then he just be like, yeah, I got like four American League MVPs. I'm like, yeah, but I never really played in the American League, so you don't know.
Right, that's true. You would have, because you were at one point better than Mike Trout. How often do you see Mike Trout, by the way?
Not that often. I think I talked to him last December. He was kind enough to send me some spikes, signed spikes to auction off for my baseball and softball nonprofit.
Very cool.
Very cool.
I always think that's weird about him, like that he's so very clearly the best player in baseball, though I know Mookie Betts could, I guess, make an argument recently with how he's played. And then people are like, well, they don't market Mike Trout enough. Well, is that his fault? Am I missing something that he's supposed to be doing?
No.
Other than being the best player in baseball?
No. Anyone that thinks that's a player issue, it's not. This is a Major League Baseball issue. Major League Baseball does not market their players as stars, and quite frankly, that's on purpose. They don't want their players to become bigger than the game. They have no interest in that. All the owners want to do, and quite frankly, this is why I hate Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred is the commissioner of the game, but his job should be to safeguard and protect and grow the game of baseball. But that's not what he does. His job specifically is, because he's hired by all the owners, his job is to make sure the owners are making as much money as possible. Right now, you hear all these salaries, $300 million here, $260 million here. Yeah, there are some big salaries out there, but the average pay for Major League Baseball players is down $3.6 million than it was 10 years ago.
So he's doing his job.
He's doing his job for what the job actually is, but not what the job is supposed to be. And
it's a very common thing for commissioners in sports. The only league that has been able to consistently pull it off and like thread that needle is the NBA, where NBA players like the commissioner and the owners like the commissioner. In the NFL, players hate the commissioner, owners love him. In hockey, pretty much everybody hates Gary Bettman, but certainly he's more popular with the owners than he is with the players. And in baseball, historically, the players haven't really liked the commissioners either.
I mean, it's been 75 years of systemic just lack of trust. I mean, it's been nearly 100 years of owners doing everything they can to kind of stick it to players. And I get that the players are starting to make better salaries, but minor leaguers, guys who are in AAA that have never spent a day in the big leagues, they're still making, less than $1,000 every 2 weeks. I didn't see a comma in my paycheck until my sixth season. I was 27 years old. And when I say a comma in my paycheck, I mean it was $1,031. You put that in context. You have to pay for all your meals. You have to pay for your travel. You have to pay for, your wherever you're living during that season. So that money is gone. You are constantly living off a credit card bill. And it's a little frustrating that Rob Manfred simply doesn't care.
He's former big leaguer Cody Decker. We'll talk to John Morosi, who was on the field at the World Series last night at 4 o'clock. Matt Spiegel at 4:25. Lucas Giolito at 5 o'clock. But coming up next, where do the Bears go from here with Nick Foles and Matt Nagy? They both spoke today, and Deck has thoughts next.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
On the score.
We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday, and he said, you know, sometimes play calls come in, and I know that I don't have time to execute that play call. And, you know, I'm the one out here getting hit. Sometimes the guy calling the plays, Matt Nagy, he doesn't know how much time there is back here. And so that's something that they have to get worked out.
That was Brian Griese bus-tossing Nick Foles on Monday Night Football. Welcome back to the Danny Parkin Show with Cody Decker in. You've been on the media side of this. You know how professional athletes, what they think of the media. Deck, what did you make of what Brian Griese said about Nick Foles and Matt Nagy on Monday night?
What I got from that was he had a conversation with Nick Foles that Nick Foles at no point thought was on the record and definitely thought, you know what, I can trust Greasy. There's no way he's going to go on Monday Night Football and announce that I don't like my head coach's play calling and that he doesn't know what he's doing and I have no time to give up any passes, because guess what? He doesn't, because the Bears offensive line is dealt with injuries and now it's completely made out of graham crackers. And you got arguably one of the best pass rushes in the NFL in the Rams on Monday. And I think, and I'm, guess what? This is going to be my Chicago heel turn. I really think Bears fans need to chill out a little bit on Nick Foles.
Okay, so the few things. Like I certainly don't think they should go back to Mitch Trubisky, mm-hmm. right? So that it depends what you mean on chill out on Nick Foles. Like, I always said when they went to him that I thought the offense would be better with Foles because he knew the offense more, and Trubisky clearly didn't. But Foles ain't great. Like, he's not the long-term answer here.
No.
He's played better defenses than Mitch did, but he's been bad. Like, he was objectively bad in that Rams game. So when you say chill out on Nick Foles, how hard are we going here?
I would like to say that, yes, Nick Foles is not the future of the Chicago Bears organization. I can't stress that enough. But we already okay. know that Mitch Trubisky isn't. And if I have one of the two options, I'm sorry, I'm going with Nick Foles. Mitch Trubisky is a guy who stole a draft pick in the second pick in the overall in that draft. Nick Foles, say what you want about the guy, he's got a Super Bowl MVP, and he's got it for a reason. And traditionally, specifically in 2018, Nick Foles is actually always been a pretty good quarterback when it comes to being under pressure. He's actually had a completion rating of over 90 when it comes to his passer rating. And I am, of course, we're not seeing the same thing now, but like I said, sitting there with James Daniels completely out with a torn pec, that hurt. That completely hurt. Not to mention whatever this Patterson experiment is going on in the backfield.
Yeah, they have no blocking talent, and they don't have much skill position talent outside of Allen Robinson, and they have no speed. It's a terrible combination for the Bears. And then what I've been impressed with Matt Nagy is there hasn't really been controversy, infighting, scandal. Like, they have this all-world defense and a terrible offense year after year after year since he's been here. This is the third year. And they've never turned on each other. Like, I'm like, he's a good leader. The defensive players like him. The offensive players like him. They rally around it. And then there's this thing. There's this Brian Greasy thing that kind of pits new QB against the coach. And I was like, oh, okay, how do they handle it? And after the game, Foles talked around it pretty well and was like, it was a miscommunication. We're good. I was talking about how we have conversations on the sideline about, hey, you're not out there. I am. You can't call this play because the blocking's not good. You want us to be having that dialogue. So I didn't think it was a huge deal, but today they both spoke. Mm-hmm. And Tanny, I haven't heard any of this. What do we need to hear from Nagy and or Foles about how they're trying to spin what their relationship is, or sell us, because I always think football people are lying when they're speaking, what they're saying today about their relationship?
It was brought up to me at the end there with you guys, and I can't answer what was interpreted by Brian Greasy. I don't know how he took it or what he took, other than what he said. But I do know that in the times that Nick and I talk, and every time we talk, it's very collaborative, and it's just something that I have a ton of confidence in the conversations that we have, because they're so real. And so, you know, even to the point of afterwards, late after the game, through, I guess, when everything was brought up, Nick and I, we had a long talk, a really good talk, about just clarifying what I guess was interpreted by Brian. Like I said, I don't know what exactly how he took it, but for us, we are in such a good spot with our relationship. It's very, very healthy. Everything we do together. I mean, and that's who we are as a team and as a culture. But I always want to know what Nick's thinking. And when he has an idea or a thought, I told everybody on the front end before that if you can't listen to those suggestions and thoughts, then you're crazy. And that's kind of where I'm at with that. But we're in a really, really good place right now and couldn't be happier with where things are at with our relationship there.
Listen, I hope for the Bears' sake that they're telling the truth. What I will say is this has been noticeable. Whenever Nagy was talking to Trubisky over the last 2.5 years, Nagy's been talking to Trubisky. It's been coach talking to player. In the 3 games that Foles has been there, 3 games? Colts, Bucks. Yeah. Then plus the half against the Falcons. It's been a two-way conversation. Like, Foles has no problem telling Nagy what he thinks, good, bad, or indifferent. We saw him yell at the coach a couple of games ago. So, like, that is the swagger that comes with the Super Bowl MVP. And so if there's a little conflict there, that happens in pro sports. That doesn't bother me on its face, because at least you have a quarterback who's willing to talk back and share his ideas with his brain to his coach, as opposed to Mitch, who honestly had that deer in the headlights look all the time and was constantly being coached up by Nagy, and it was a one-way conversation.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to the NFL, if you have a veteran player like that, someone that has the hardware that you desperately want to get your hands on, you got to at least listen to him. You could say whatever you want about Nick Foles' talent, but you understand one thing. On Monday night, Floyd had a 16.7% pressure rate. That was Floyd. Yep. Donald had a 20.5% pressure rate and 4 sacks. What did you want Nick Foles to do? Quite frankly, he wasn't able to even pivot off his back foot on a single pass.
Yeah, and then even it was also a combination of, like, even when they weren't getting there, it felt like he was getting there. He was seeing ghosts a little bit out there. What I said on yesterday's show was basically it was a collective failure. Mm-hmm. Like, no one could say that Foles played well, but he had no help. He had no help from his blocking. He had no help from his running. He had no help from his coaching. The defense had their worst game of the year. Like, that was by far the worst game of the Bears' season. And so they either bounce back or they don't. And if that's the real Bears team, then they'll lose to the Saints, they'll lose to the Titans, and none of this is going to end up mattering. So I don't know if that game will be the outlier or if that's going to be the new norm for the Bears going forward.
What do you think? Do you think that there is truth in what Nagy is saying right now, or are we going to see a repeat of the Dwayne Haskins, Riverboat Ron breakup that we saw in Week 3?
I think that Nagy holds the team together well, and I think that Foles is – the glass isn't half full. It's 85-90% full at all times. He's religious. He's eternal optimist. He's blind optimist in some ways. He's that, like, rah-rah leader of men. I just kill you with kindness and positivity. So I don't think that this is going to lead to them splintering. And I frankly, call me naive, I don't think that he was bus-tossing his coach. I don't think that Nick Foles does that. I think that he was literally saying to Brian Griese, yeah, we haven't worked together much. This was the third game that he had ever called plays for me. We have to have a dialogue, and sometimes he's calling plays that this offensive line stinks, and I got to tell him, hey, we can't call that play because we're not going to have enough time. Like, I honestly thought that it was like a healthy exchange of ideas just from observing them on the sideline. They talk a lot, and it's a conversation that I think Greasy editorialized in that spot, and it created this kerfuffle out of nothing. That's my read on the situation.
I think you have a pretty solid read about the situation. Like you said, look at Nick Foles. Does he look like he's ever said a curse word towards anyone ever?
Exactly.
Although I will say, and I did notice this, and I even tweeted it out on Monday night, I was looking at Nick Foles' face because I've never really sat there and broke it down. But I was looking at his face, and I thought, I just realized who he finally reminds me of, and it's been driving me nuts for about 5 years. He looks like Marilyn Manson if he took off his makeup and decided to perform like an acoustic set at like the Whiskey A Go-Go or something, and he's just like folksy singing Dope Show or something. Like, he looks like Marilyn Manson without makeup on. Seriously, Google this. It is frightening.
Okay, of all of the things you could have said.
Yes.
Marilyn Manson without makeup would
Seriously.
Have been like 10 million to 1 on the board. I didn't see it coming. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to play Nick Foles and his version of what the hell happened now that they've had time. And while we're listening to Nick Foles, I will be Googling Marilyn Manson without makeup, and I will report back after Nick Foles says what the hell was going on there on Monday night.
Yeah, I mean, it was right after I talked to y'all. First thing I did was go straight to his office because I think it's important. Y'all hear me talk about conversations and relationships. And even though that wasn't true what Brian said, it was important for Matt, Coach Nagy, and I to speak about what was said for our relationship. It doesn't matter if you're in marriage or what. If you keep something away from your wife and you don't ever talk about it, if you're married, you know it turns into something that it shouldn't be. So that wisdom right there made me realize, hey, I'm gonna go talk to Coach Nagy. I have a great relationship with him. We had a really good conversation. And you know, that's what's important, is having those relationships with your coaches to where you can actually go in there and talk like men and put it all out there on the table so you can just move forward in the appropriate way. So it was really good. And you know, I'm glad we talked. production meetings are to help the broadcasters do their job and help them out by having conversations. Because just like y'all write about us, like y'all are putting food on your family's table, and I respect that, but I'm always going to treat y'all with respect. It's the same thing in those meetings. You have these conversations out of respect to help them do their job. And when you have these conversations and things can be twisted just a little bit to, and said at the wrong time, and then it creates something where now we're still talking about it. That's never great, but you know what? People do make mistakes, and you know, there's forgiveness and all that. So obviously life goes on. Everything is good. We had really great conversations. It's unfortunate it happened, but it did. It's really, I think, the first time I've ever had to deal with something like this. But you know, people make mistakes and things happen, and we move on, and there's grace.
Thank you.
It's not a bad call on Manson as Nick Foles, but I will say, I get a little bit more of like a Nick Cage vibe from
No. Trust me, if you know anything about my background, you know what a hater of Nick Cage I really, really am. But now I almost like Nick Cage because everyone's finally gotten on board with me, but it took too long to the point where I've almost come full circle and I appreciate him again.
Wait a minute. What's not to like about Nick Cage?
Everything. He ruined every movie in the 90s, and he stole an Oscar.
That's the worst take I've ever heard.
That is my first good take today. What is wrong with you?
Con Air was snubbed at the Academy across the board. What is wrong with Con Air? It's a perfect film.
Can you stop trying to convince your co-host to watch Con Air?
Yeah, Con Air
what
is
wrong
arguably
with Con Air?
Everything. What's good about Con Air?
Steve Buscemi, Malkovich, early Dave Chappelle. Nick Cage gets shot in the arm and keeps walking.
His there you go.
Anyway, it's a great film. It really is.
Put the bunny back in the box. They land an airplane on the Las Vegas Strip. I can keep going. That's seven great things about Con Air. You want me to keep going?
You just named seven things about Con Air, none of which were great.
Wait a minute. Cyrus the Virus as a nickname for a convict is not a great thing?
How do you have John Cusack and completely waste him, and I got to listen to Nick Cage with a god-awful Southern accent and a wig that honestly would make Nick Cage blush? Because that's his worst wig that he's worn on screen.
Oh, man. I mean, so you don't want to talk about Gone in 60 Seconds and how that was an incredible film as well?
I sincerely think you need to seek therapy now. I'm worried.
Gone in 60 Seconds. Rider. Yeah. Yeah. Let's go. No. Let's talk about it. Great
you
movie.
You know what? How
Angelina
about this?
Jolie, the blacklight list of cars, cool scenes, boosting cars, having sex while boosting cars.
Great. It was PG-13. There was no sex. There was no sex whatsoever. All they did was tease you with some sex. They made you think that Angelina Jolie with a bleach blonde hairdo was actually going to sit there and have sex with Nicolas Cage in a car, which, by the way, I would honestly pay money to see. Instead, they went and stole a different, much more awful car. Terrible movie.
I mean, it was a little bit of a tease, but we were the same age as me. We were teenagers.
We were 13. You can't tease me with that.
Quit yelling.
Oh, come on. Nick Cage, National Treasure. Not a terrible film.
Nauseating. Nauseating is what you just said. That is a nauseating sentence out of your mouth.
Okay. Okay. I will stand by Nick Cage. Not his good movies.
What good movies?
The movies.
Yeah,
I
Danny, the gap is widening here. The movies are getting worse. Like, you're trying to sell Nick Cage, but the movies are getting worse. You're trying to back up your argument. It's not good for you.
I'm not going to talk about the Academy Award winning performances, like the ones that critically acclaimed. No,
singular, not performances. Singular. He stole an Oscar for Leaving Las Vegas. He played an outrageously eccentric drunk. What a reach.
that was not that much of a role for him. I agree with you. I like fun, bad movies. I enjoy them. What, again, really, this is a Con Air point, okay? Con Air deserves to be in trial. Like, what's the museum? It's not the Smithsonian. Where we send, like, movies and we preserve them for all time so that
Smithsonian.
It's, like,
it is the Smithsonian.
Yes, civilizations well into the future can come back and, like, Citizen Kane. What a film. Like, Wizard of Oz.
It should be there. Con Air should be there. With
you
all
said
of
Citizen
movies.
Kane and Con Air in the same sentence, and you want people to listen to your Nick Foles takes? What are you doing?
Yeah, because Con Air is better than Citizen Kane. It's a real bore.
Oh, God!
Yeah. I said
no,
it.
No. What are you doing? And I'm not sitting here sitting...
Yeah. I said it. I'll say it again.
Con Air is about as enjoyable as a vasectomy with literally no anesthetic.
Have you had that?
If I had the choice between that and Con Air, I'd do it. And I'd throw it on Periscope.
Anything for content. We're going to get along great. It's the Danny Parker Show on The Score.
To go to some really crazy places, like, how do you amp yourself up for scenes like that? Or what does the term over the top even register?
You show me where the top is, and I'll let you know whether I'm over it or not, all right? I design where the top is. Brian could speak more to this than I can. He knows how spiritual acting is for me. I don't even like the word acting anymore. I don't, because it implies lying in some way. I don't act. I feel and I imagine and I channel.
My guy Nick Cage, baby. Cameron Poe. Put the bunny back in the box.
Did you hear his answer to that question?
Yeah, I love
that. His answer to that question is, I'm not acting. I actually am Ghost Rider. I am a demon spirit with a sarcophagus in my jacket.
Yeah, and a dinosaur skull in his living room before he went bankrupt with his 14 houses.
These are hills that you're choosing to die on. You know that, right?
Yeah. I like fun, bad movies. Guilty pleasure movies. I have a long list of them.
I do too.
Nick Cage is in like six of them. So.
No, Nick Cage figures out how to ruin those too. I'm going to sit down with you. We're going to watch some real good bad movies together one of these days.
Okay. But we have to stop everything because we're going to talk to John Morosi at 4. We're going to talk to Matt Spiegel after that. Then we're going to talk to Lucas Giglietto. So we're going to have a lot of guests. But I just was texted something from John Greenberg at The Athletic. And I need to know everything about this. You booed Stephen Miller in high school, the racist in the White House. You booed Stephen Miller. Amazing. You're my hero. Tell me everything about this.
So I grew up in Santa Monica, California. I went to Santa Monica High School. We had about over 4,000 students at the school. Stephen Miller was running for, I believe, class treasurer. And he went on the weirdest tirade possible, saying, this is how he opened with it. He started yelling, I am sick and tired of people telling me to pick up my trash when we pay janitors to do it for us. That's how he opened his speech. And as it got incrementally more and more, how do I say this? Polarizing and racist, he was legitimately booed so loud he was ripped off the stage by teachers because they thought that the schools were going to start a riot. And we probably were. And yes, one of the people that booed him? You bet your ass I was. And I do it again. I boo him anytime he's on TV. I boo the movie Nosferatu because sometimes I think that is Stephen Miller.
That is remarkable on a number of levels. But in a weird way, comforting, because then it's not an act. Like, he's just that actually horrible.
That's him.
Yeah. Because a lot of them are choosing to be, right? It's like an active choice for political gain or whatever. That actually being him, like, I'm sorry for him and everybody who knows him. But that is amazing that he's been being booed since high school. That is truly a remarkable accomplishment.
Here's the thing. Somebody said, why didn't you beat him up? And I'm like, why would I beat up a guy that I legitimately thought was 3 years away from being, like, in an alley screaming racist epithets at pigeons?
Right. You didn't think he was going to have any power? Of course.
No. I thought he was going to be someone I just have to dodge as he walks around with a sign and a megaphone on the 3rd Street Promenade. Turns out he's helping running the country.
Wow. That is crazy. I went to a high school with about 4,000 kids, too. It's a weird experience. And you were a great athlete, so probably a little different from you. But, I mean, I always talk about it like it prepared you for college. It prepared you for life. But man, that's like a way to get lost in a sea at a young age if you don't have something that you're excellent at to like give you identity at 15 or 16 years old.
You have no idea. It's very strange. But to me, it was like normal because it's what I grew up in. You know, I was, every school has 4,000 people in it. Turns out you and I are very much the minority on that. But yes. I remember because in middle school, I was a fat kid, and I was mercilessly picked on. Like, it was a nightmare. Then I go to high school, and I was a baseball player all the way through. But no one knew I was a baseball star in the seventh grade. No one wanted to talk to the fat kid. So I get to high school, I start working out a ton, and now I'm a baseball star. And then I join musical theater, and I'm starring in the musicals, too. And everybody knows me. But I remembered in the back of my head everything you said to me when I was in seventh grade. So you guys can all, you know, go to hell.
Yeah, way more people were interested in talking to me at the high school reunion than were in high school.
Yeah.
I see what you're all doing here.
Wait, so none of you in seventh grade wanted to talk to me about Doctor Who, and all of a sudden you guys are like, hey, so Doctor Who's cool, right, Cody? I'm like, no. Yeah. I know what you're doing. Get out of here. Beat it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, we found another avenue we can relate on. John Morosi was on the field last night, maybe during a super spreader event. Definitely when a World Series champion was crowned. That must have been weird. We will talk to the reporter from Fox Sports and MLB Network next on The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.